Stay with the Fan for this special program.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The Bucks game is over. And now, it's time for the longest-running Pro Hoops post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
You know, I feel good. I always can get better. But, you know, I know myself. I know how usually it goes. You know, if I'm healthy, things are going to be okay.
The head coach.
You know, offensively, I think, you know, we make a few more shots. Could be dangerous.
And the fans.
You got a guy in Giannis. He's just, like, the most likable human being, and all the other people fall in line with that. Everybody kind of takes it after him. And it's really positive to see that be the team that we give.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Now, here's your host, Bill Baby Tausch Schmid, on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks lose a rare one at home, now 22-3 at Fiserv Forum, as they get beat on the back end of a back-to-back by the opponent. Denver came in and wanted that one more, but this is now becoming a trend, and a very, very loosely followed trend. When the Bucks lose, the opponent has a historic shooting night. Take those odds. Season high on made threes of 22 by the Denver Nuggets on 22 of 45. Make it 22 of 46. From downtown were the Nuggets tonight. That was the effort it took to take out the Milwaukee Bucks. And oh, by the way, nine Nuggets play, nine Nuggets finish in double figures. A good recipe for getting a W on the road. And that's a big win for the Denver Nuggets. Huge win, as they right now sat in the second seed in the Western Conference, percentage points over the LA Clippers, just with one extra W. Now they got two. That's a big win. That's a big-time win for the Denver Nuggets, now 34-15 on the road. Back-to-back wins as they were on the road last night. Got in to Milwaukee about 5 a.m. and were down a bunch of guys. Bucks played without George Hill and Dante DiVincenzo. So Bucks slightly shorthanded. Denver Nuggets tonight as well, they were really shorthanded. They were without Jamal Murray, Paul Millsap, and Gary Harris. Two to three starters, however you want to quantify it. Nine Nuggets play, nine Nuggets in double figures. 31 from Giannis, but not his best night, to say the least. They beat him up a lot inside. And again, another coincidence maybe in these games that the Bucks have been able to lose, and I understand there's only been seven of them, but teams are able to beat up Giannis down low. And that's what the Nuggets were able to do tonight. The game was loosely officiated, to say the least. Coach Bud got it in the first quarter while the Bucks went out and scored 43. Nuggets keeping pace, only down seven after one period, and then down six, or they were down eight after one, down seven at half, excuse me, when it was 67-60. The first quarter was back and forth, wild to tip on both ends. Bud getting a technical foul being charged against Will Barton, I believe it was, in that first quarter as well. And it was a gripe fest. It was long. It was physical. There were points going back and forth. Each team was knocking down threes. Bucks made six in that first quarter and then made six for the rest of the game. 12 of 40 were the Bucks from behind the arc tonight. Once again, just not a good recipe to win games. Kane Pittman putting this out. In the wins, Bucks opponent 3-point shooting percentage. In the 41 wins, the Bucks have held their opponent to 35.1 on average from deep. In games they've lost, over 43% get knocked down from the 3-point arc. In tonight's game, just a shade under 48% threes made by the Denver Nuggets. It was a very, very difficult night. You want to see a night where you shoot like that and you continue to knock down triples from that end. Just felt like the Nuggets came in here with a sense of purpose and they wanted this one bad. They wanted this one bad. They knew they were coming in off a back-to-back. They knew they were shorthanded. Do they get some breaks along the way? Sure. But folks, let's remember what happened in the beginning of this game. It's Greek Heritage Night. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's enjoying themselves. The Nassus takes the start. This was an 8 o'clock tip-off on a Friday night that, I'm going to be completely honest with you, the Bucks wanted to win this game, no doubt about it. But did the Bucks attack this game like I've seen them attack opponents before? Was this the sense of purpose you saw when they played Boston at home the second time? No. Was this the same energy level you got when the number one team in the Western Conference came in against the LA Lakers about a week before Christmas? No chance. Same energy level you saw when the Clippers came in here and that team and the Bucks ran that team out by 40? Mm-mm. I'm not saying that's an energy problem that's going to get consistent, but it felt like, and you can call me a liar if you want, from this chair, felt pretty evident that Denver wanted this one more than the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Ask Kyle Korver last night on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Myself and Steve Novak, we were down at Good City Brewing in the shadows of Fiserv Forum last night, statewide on the Bill Michaels Network. Ask Kyle, how do you guys continue to have that sense of purpose every single night out? How on earth can a team that had so much success, so much regular season success this year, bring it every single night? Because the Bucks bring it every single night. He said, I don't see it being an issue. I don't see us running out of gas. I don't see there being a couple of nights where maybe we all just start a little bit laxed. Tonight, the team that got in at 5 a.m. off a back-to-back after a hard-fought win last night, playing shorthanded without arguably their best player or second-best scorer on their team in Jamal Murray, came in here and beat you. They shot better from deep. They played really, really physical defense. Their best player wasn't his best. Can't tell me Jokic had his best game of the year. That was a total team effort by Denver tonight. Will Barnett, 24, he was the only other guy with 20. But every single player that stepped on the floor in a Denver Nuggets uniform put up double digits. That's impressive. That's a battle. That's a fight. Not knocking anybody individually. You can go through a basketball season and have different nights where you just didn't have it. Is this one of those nights? Because if that's true, that's fine. I'm very okay with that. But that was a tough game, to say the least. Warrior Poet, after I had this tweet coming on the air. Nuggets wanted that one more. Bucks lose 127-115. Wanted it more? They went Norman Powell, Fred Van Vliet on us. Just unconscious from downtown. Probably not going to win a lot of games when the opponent wins, shoots 50% from three. But that also doesn't happen every day. Fluke game. When you're able to give up that many threes and give up that many open looks, there's a difference. I get a team knocking down triples that are contested. But when you're consistently getting good looks at deep threes, Bucks gave up a lot of good looks tonight. 22 of 46, the Nuggets hit from downtown. Bucks fans leaving Fiserv Forum. Want to hear from you. 414-799-1250. It's 799-1250, the phone number. You can also tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. I'm at Bill Schmidt Radio individually. The Bucks get beat tonight by a team that it appeared that Denver was going all in on getting this win tonight. In an 82-game regular season, there are going to be nights where you simply just don't have it. I do not want to believe, and frankly, I don't believe, that this was a night that the Bucks straight up just didn't have it. Team hit 22 threes, sure. These games are going to happen. Yeah, but to say that you can't question whether this team had everything going all night, I don't know how you can't. They started a guy that nobody else was going to give an NBA contract to. Said they gave him a 2-year deal. I'm never going to fault this team for doing something to make Giannis happy. Guys, it was Greek night. It was a fun, festive atmosphere. It's a Friday night in Milwaukee. The place was sold out. Everybody was having a great time. They had the Fear the Deer cord on. They wore the statement jerseys, the black ones, right? Alternate cord. It was supposed to be exciting. It was supposed to be electric. And it was in the first quarter when you outscored them 43-35. But the Nuggets came out in that third quarter, and they said, guys, we got 24 minutes, and then we get to go home. We had a battle last night against Utah, who is going to be in the playoffs, and they know they're going to see that team again. And now we get to go play the NBA's best team. Those are two big-time wins for that Denver team. I don't want to take anything away from what Denver just did. And me saying that they wanted it more, frankly, is not questioning the effort of the Bucks. To me, it's more saying, look at what you have to do to beat this team. You have to come out here and hit a season high in threes. You got to come out here playing like an absolute dog to beat this team. But there are other teams in this league that's going to require your best shot too. Just didn't feel like the Bucks gave it fully their best shot tonight. Good game. It was. Second half, after Denver took their first lead at 77-76. I mean, it was just a tailspin. Bucks got it within six there with 3.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Will Barton comes down, brings his defender to his knees, steps one back, pops a three. Those were three of his 24 points tonight. He led the Nuggets in scoring, where all nine guys that played had double figures. That's a team effort. A game that is led by stars in a sport, in a profession that is led by superstars, you just watched a full team effort come in to take down the Milwaukee Bucks. Impressive to me was how good the Denver Nuggets were. Somewhat disappointing to me was how poor the Bucks were able to show out tonight. In a game that you didn't have to have, but you've seen the energy level be different. You've seen the execution be so much higher. And frankly, you've seen the intensity and the focus and the desire be much higher. I'm not saying you got to bring that every single night. But it was pretty evident that this was not the same team that came out to play the LA Lakers, the Clippers, Boston the second time just a couple of weeks ago at home. 22-3 at home. These games are going to happen. Bucks have lost like three games since Halloween. Not coming out here and bashing the team. Just saying that there are reasons why they lost this game outside of their control. But to say that none of it was their control and it was just a fluke, I think that's disrespectful to the opponent. Denver came in here knowing they wanted to have this game and knowing they kind of needed it. To be able to be where they are in the Western Conference, you got to come in and beat teams like the Bucks on the road. They just did that. They walked into the team, the NBA's best, the best team at home, and beat them on their home floor. Back end of a back-to-back, shorthanded. It's an impressive win by Denver. Disappointing for the Bucks to come out on the losing end. These don't happen very often, so it's difficult to lay blame anywhere, but sometimes there's going to be nights where you just don't have your A game. Did the Bucks bring it tonight, or did another just simply outmatch him? 414-799-1250. Told you we had Kyle Korver on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour last night. Want to bring you some of that conversation because there's some really, really good stuff and some pointed reaction at just how good this team can be in the eyes of a guy that's been around a lot of really, really good programs but has never gotten to the mountaintop. How do you continually have that type of drive, that type of focus, that type of intensity? Kyle Korver talks about how he still is in love with the game of basketball at 38 years old. A lot of really, really good stuff coming up here later on in the program. Also going to hear from Mike Budenholzer, Giannis Antetokounmpo, when he finally talks to the media, and Matt Velasquez down at Fiserv Forum, and you at 414-799-1250 and at 105.7 FM The Fan on Twitter. I'm Bill Schmidt. Appreciate you being here. It's a Big and Safe Pro-Hoops postgame show. Fans leaving Fiserv Forum want to hear from you at 799-1250. Big and Safe Pro-Hoops postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. I'm inside the Pella windows and doors of Wisconsin Studios on The Fan.
Did that really just happen? It's time for the Are You Kidding Me? Moment of the game. Brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagner.com. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
To 100. They arrived in Milwaukee and got to bed after 5 a.m. today. Tough back-to-back for the Nuggets. Teams have no sympathy. On the bus down.
Jim Paschke on the highlight, the bust-out dunk by Thanasis Antetokounmpo. He started that game. That was only the fourth point of the night. A breakaway steal after a Jokic turnover. Bucks started this game up 4-0. They started the game up 13-4 and then started the game up 43-35 after one quarter of play. And did it tonight without Dante DiVincenzo, without George Hill. But the Denver Nuggets get the win, ultimately, 127-115. We're only talking about the seventh loss of the season. So, no one is panicking that this team is going to fall from grace. But there are nights that you are not the better team. There's nights that they're just not your nights. There are nights when somebody comes in with a different sense of purpose and a different level of intensity and just beats you. Tonight felt like, to me, one of those nights a team came in and wanted the game more and they took it from you. Denver came in here with everything to gain in the game. They're coming off a tough win against a team that's in the playoff race in their conference, a non-conference opponent. They wanted this one bad, and it was pretty evident. And they did it without Millsap, without Murray. Guys, that's really, really, really impressive to do. When you're going in here playing without your best guard, without your best scorer, and maybe your best three-point shooter in Gary Harris, one of your best three-point shooters. And they lost Michael Porter Jr. in the third quarter. Or is that the fourth quarter? Late in the game. They lost Porter Jr., who was probably, outside of Barton, their best player in the game. And that was a total team effort by Malone's squad in Denver. And it was really, really fun to watch. I don't know if there's laying blame anywhere or there's a lot of panic, but I think this can be a good lesson to you that you want to keep overlooking teams. Not saying the Bucks do it all that much. You want to keep having a lot of fun during games and celebrating Greek heritage and starting guys that probably should be in the G League. That's cool. Enjoy it. Those are fun times. These are fun games. It's a great time to be a Bucks fan. I was talking with the guys last night on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. I did laundry for a team that won 15 games in that building, or the one that's now torn down. These are great times to be a Bucks fan. But this is still a reminder that you don't come out every single night in the NBA. Somebody else is going to. And that is a damn good basketball team in Denver. Let's go out to the phone lines at 799-1250. Trell's on the north side. Trell, you're on the Pick and Save Probes postgame show. What's going on, man?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Good.
Not going to panic. I mean, it's just another loss, but there are similarities from the Philadelphia.
WSSP loss, right? Milwaukee.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because they make it tough for Giannis, and they hit their three-point shots. So that is something that the Bucks do give up. they give up threes, but because their pace is really fast, and because they shoot a lot of threes themselves, and because they got Giannis, who's probably the most dominant guy as far as getting points in the paint, that they can overcome that most of the time. But when teams are able to slow him down or make it real tough for him, put more bodies at him, where shooting percentage drops to like 6 for 18 and stuff like that, that's when teams are pretty much either are in the league or it's a very close game. And that's what we've seen tonight. So just keep my eyes on little things like that, because like I said, at the end of the day, I'm loving this season. The winning that they're doing back in the day is all about the postseason for this team. And as long as 34 is here, that's what it's going to be. So that's why I'm judging it critically as far as the way they lost the game, because it reminds me, like I said, that Christmas Day game.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it reminds me the last series against Toronto. So
appreciate it, Trell. The three-point shooting, I mean, like, these teams are having huge nights against the Bucks, shooting the ball from downtown to beat them. No doubt. That Philly game was insane. You want to look at a team being able to shoot that well from down? Were they two away from a franchise record? I know it was by far the highest they've ever had in the season. Tonight, Denver has a season high 22. They were two made threes away from their franchise record. Franchise record. But to be able to slow things down and facilitate, I'm not worried about the Bucks possession by possession. But from what Trell's saying, it's the feeling of, man, they go ice cold, somebody else gets red hot. You could see the recipe. You could see it. You could see the way it gets going. You could see the way they get bounced. Because you saw it last year. And it does. That is similar to how Toronto was able to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Speaks to Giannis's greatness, I think, too. And really the greatness of the team. To be able to have such an obvious bullet point plan and game plan. Everybody's game plan when they come in and play the Milwaukee Bucks is pretty much the same. There's really, really good coaches in this league. There's some that are far better than others. Right? I think Quinn Snyder in Utah is a tremendous coach. Eric Spoelstra down in Miami, I think he's a tremendous coach. All of them have their different ways of plotting. But when you come to Milwaukee, there's about one way. And one, maybe some slight, subtle tweaks. If you got a freakish athlete on your squad, then go mano a mano. If you're Quinn Snyder, you can kind of change the game because you have Rudy Gobert, who can somewhat manage Giannis size-wise. There's about one game plan to beating the Milwaukee Bucks. And it's really, really, really hard to stop. And it's really hard to execute. Bucks only have been beaten seven times, guys. Not panicking. But I'm making a statement. That Denver team that came in tonight's game wanted that one a lot. Felt like maybe they wanted it more than the Bucks. Those are going to happen on a course of an 82-game season. They've only happened a handful of times. Bucks lose tonight, 127-115. If you're leaving Fiserv Forum, want to hear from you at 414-799-1250. Paul says, would you like to see Bud adjust the defense to not allow so many open threes when it's obvious a team is getting hot from beyond the arc? I don't necessarily know if it's shifting the entire way you play defense, but at some point, a couple of adjustments need to be made. But as Matt Velasquez talks to us all the time on this postgame show, and he'll join us again tonight, Bud is about them being better themselves. Not always worried about what the opponent's doing. Not really worried about what the next opponent's doing. He's worried about his squad. A lot of coaches in the NBA will scheme night in, night out, and differently. Bud doesn't seem that much into that. He's more focused on getting his team better for that individual game. Denver came in here and played a heck of a game. That was a really, really intense basketball game and a team effort by Denver. It took every single guy they had for 48 minutes to take down the league's best. And the league's best at home. Only the third time, if you're a season ticket holder, you've walked out of Fiserv Forum disappointed. 22-3 on the home floor. But the last two times they started those games, I don't remember them starting the Nassus Atetokounmpo. That felt like a move that you do when you want to throw up a single individual finger that's not your index finger. That's what that move felt like to me, to the rest of the game and the rest of the league. We're all good. We're all good. We can start this cat. You got nobody else wanted to play to give him a contract? Yeah, we'll start him against the second-best team in the West. Vincent's in Anaheim. He's up on the fan. What's going on, Vincent?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, man, like I told the screener, you know, hey, you know, Denver kind of did what the Bucks did, man. That third quarter, you know, with that 40 points they'd be dropping, man. That was kind of like the killer to a point. You know, because me, I'm outside looking in because I didn't get to watch a game, so I kind of, you know, go off what I see in the box scores. You know, I know you. I listen to y'all shows and all that, so I kind of get the beat over there, you know? So I just like giving my two cents, you know? But it happens. But like you said, it's not a big deal. But these guys are not even in your conference, you know what I mean? They're not even in your conference, not even in your division. And plus, a lot of teams, I think everybody's just saying it. Kind of an old take, but everybody's going to be gunning for y'all because y'all are the best. Y'all, you have a better record than the Lakers. You have a better record than my Raptors, too. You know what I mean? So they're going to come at you. And I like that. I like when I look at the box score and I saw Giannis' brother, I was like, what? You know, because I saw he was a small forward or power forward and no center started. And I was like, what's going on? But then I got the message. That's cool, man. That's cool, yeah, because a lot of people, they want to give this guy a chance and all that. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to. I like seeing that. Because the team, that means they're not worried about winning. They mean they want to win every game, but they're also showing some love and, you know, saying right. That, hey, you know, if we lose, we lose. But at the end of the day, because everybody needs stepped up point-wise, you know.
Sure.
Maybe if Middleton scored five more and Bledsoe scored five more, you know, then that's that. But, you know, Middleton did a high job, and Bledsoe, I ain't mad about the points. You know, Wesley Matthews maybe two more points, and, you know, Lopez, the center, man, he was cold on the threes. So, you know, it's all good, man. He ain't nothing to worry about, and, you know, until the next game, man. But that's cool that Giannis' brother's card. That's cool.
Appreciate it, Vincent. And yeah, it is cool. It is cool. It's nice that they're cool to show some love. And what he just said is pretty much what I was thinking when I saw the Nassus starting the game. Of course they want to win the game. You don't play the game to lose. These guys are all world-class competitors. But you're down to still enjoy the moment. You're still down to, hey, Coach Bud, it's Greek night, man. Why don't you give the kid a start? It felt like to me, And this is just another good scenario that I could point out. Felt like on senior night, right? You've seen the kid on the end of the bench. They've now been famed in college basketball. You're already into the conference tournament. Hey, this was back in the day with Buzz Williams. Hey, Buzz, why don't you give Rob Frozina a start? The guy that everybody chants his name to get into the game with like 3.5 seconds left. Once he gets into the game, everybody's just begging for him to take a shot. Place erupted when Thanasis had the breakaway dunk. That Denver team came in here with a sense of purpose. They wanted this one bad. And they were able to execute. Giving all the credit to Denver in this game. Just a little bit of pause and a little bit of frustration. Just, there was not the same intensity level. And if you were at Fiserv Forum, tell me if I'm wrong. Just did not feel like there was the same level of energy, same level of intensity, same level of focus that there was for the Clippers, the Lakers, the Celtics, you name it. Let's go to Josh, leaving Fiserv Forum. He's up on the fan. Josh, what's going on, man? How was the energy in that place tonight?
Yo, honestly, the energy, I thought, I walked in right at tip-off, basically. Season ticket holder, I go to pretty much every game, and honestly, like, it was jacked up in there. It was loud. It was louder than most games. It was playoff atmosphere, I'd say, it started out. And then, I mean, it started getting closer, and people started getting a little more nervous. But then, I don't know if you remember, Giannis aired the free throw, and then everyone was like, oh. And then, like, everyone started cheering right after that, like, yo, like, let's go, come on. And he made the next one. And honestly, I thought that was going to be, that was right, I mean, they were probably within two something like that.
Yeah, the game was right in the balance at that point. It was three-point game.
Dude, I thought they were about to just turn it up right there. But they just kept hitting shots. Honestly, Denver just kept hitting shots, and it just kept taking the wind out of the sails every time. And as soon as they went up by, like, 12, I think, like 6 minutes left, yeah, something like that, dude, it was pretty much a wrap, I would say.
It started out
amped up, like seriously playoff game amped up. And by the end of the game, like, honestly, I thought it was about to go to another level when Giannis, they just kept making shots.
Appreciate it, man. There was one point, and he's right, when they went up 12 with about 6 minutes left, I was looking in here like, this is gonna be a heck of an uphill battle. And then I said it, if they win this game, it's probably the coolest, best win of the year. Like, you can earmark this one as one that you will remember going into playoff time. You come back from 12 down at home with like 5-6 minutes to play. Instead, they got it within six with about 3 minutes left. Will Barton drop somebody to their shorts with a crossover dribble, step back, hit a triple, and then you came down on the other end and traveled. And that was wraps. Then it was a 9-point game. They got ball. That was wraps. That was past the sticks moment with 3 minutes left. Rams on the north side. He's up on the Fan after the Bucks lose by 12. Ram, what's going on, dude?
Hey, man, I was at a high school game filming game, but I was watching it on my phone.
And who are you filming for, man? Who are you filming for?
The Hope High School.
Okay, cool. Do you enjoy doing that, or is that frustrating for you being at the top and having people stand up in the middle of you while you're trying to film and get some good stuff on the team?
Well, we was in a room, like I could oversee the gym, and it had the window open. So
that's nice.
I wasn't, like, in this situation. I know what you're talking about. I've done both.
Yeah,
before.
For sure.
But normally people respect you when you're there. Like, they don't try to get in front of you because they understand what you're doing, and they just kind of like give you that space so you don't like get that flex on you, putting your hand in the camera, and mm-hmm. like that, you know. So, Will Barton is a Bucks killer. I can go back almost 3 years and pull up his stats. He's just a killer. I really believe that he could start on some teams. And then you got to remember the tonight the Bucks. There was no Murray, no Harris.
No Murray, no Harris, or Millsap.
They got beat by bench players that can play, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're like the number four or number three three-point shooting team in the league. So I don't think this is not no fluke. But, baby, too, what I want to know is why is it we can't defend the three? And every team knows that. That's on the scouting report.
It's on the scouting report, Ram, and the defense wants to funnel threes to the middle of the floor,
right.
But it's different when you're giving up open threes. What the toughest part about it, and Ram, I want to keep you right here because I respect your opinion of the game. With Jokic, you have to double him at certain points, right? He's inside within 5 to 7 feet. You're right. Going to have to throw another body at him. But if you're going to, you have to have confidence that you can get back or at least switch on one open shooter and make them make one more extra pass.
But they put shooters on the floor that's probably at 37 to 41. I didn't look up their percentages, but Jokic is a great passer. He's just not a good passer.
Nah, he's amazing, dude.
And then they was running the pick-and-pop shoot. So my thing is with the Bucks and how they're going to lose in the playoffs is pretty much the same way that that Toronto beat. Nothing mm-hmm. we saw tonight. And I just don't think we're a good three-point shooting team. I think we have guys that can make shots. Corbett's probably the best guy. But to contest with what you saw last night, if they don't slash and get to the middle other than Bledsoe and mix it up, I don't think they can get out the second round.
Appreciate it, Ram. And I had this conversation. It's funny he said that. I had the exact same conversation with Mitch Ross last time he was in here producing the show. I know the Bucks want to shoot a lot of threes, and I think they got guys that can knock down triples. But I don't know if they're one of the best three-point shooting teams I can remember. Like, I look at Portland, even though Portland's like 10 games under 500, I look at some of those guys on their team and be like, you know they can fill it up from downtown. Middleton, I know, can shoot from deep. Wes Matthews, yeah. Brooke Lopez, yeah, good year last year from three. Kyle Korver, killer from downtown. One of the best three-point shooters of all time. but he can only play like 12 minutes a night. There's a difference between being a really, really good three-point shooting team and being a team that wants to shoot a bunch of threes. Bucks just got outshot from deep tonight. I mean, by ton, by far. Denver made 10 more threes than you. I can be many times when that team has a 30-point differential from downtown, and you have to go and outmatch that. And you got to go and out-physical that, out-body that up. Bucks didn't shoot well from deep. 1 of 5 was Giannis. 1 of 5 was Bledsoe. 1 of 5 was Wes Matthews. 0 for 5 from Brook Lopez from deep. Let's go to Mike in Waukesha leaving the game. Mike, you're on the fan. What's going on, dude?
Hey, buddy. Brewer Mike. How you doing, bud?
Brewer long Mike. Time no long talk. Time no talk. How you been?
Oh, I've been here and there and everywhere, brother.
Well, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what. The beginning of the game, you know, I could feel the energy. But by about the third quarter, it just seemed like someone just, you know, popped a balloon. And
I would agree.
The referees, and I'm an official. I'm a high school official.
Mm-hmm.
And the referees just were not consistent. I mean, if you're going to let them play, okay? But, I mean, there were some obvious fouls that the Bucks were getting away with. But then, they go down, and then they call them, you know. There wasn't any consistency, and I totally agree with you on the three-point shots. You know, we've got Lopez, both Lopez's, and Giannis. We've got to go inside more. And like your last caller, I agree with him. That's going to kill us in the playoffs. You know, when you're not hitting them, go inside. And you know, we got the best record in basketball right now. And I'm not yelling at Budenholzer for it. But the thing is, if you want to get to that level, I mean, you can ask the old guys. And you know, I'm almost 60 years old now. You can ask the old guys. You got to have an inside game. And if you don't have an inside game, you're not gonna win the whole.
Well, and Mike too, that it seemed like earlier on in the year they were going to showcase Brook Lopez down low every once in a while when they knew the shots weren't falling from downtown. They had made it a point, and it sure looked conscious, to put Brook down on the block. And Brook Lopez can be an interior scorer. The guy made almost $70 million in this league scoring off the block and averaging like 18 a game. He can do it, but you wanted to change his game to be a three-point shooter to fit the offense. I understand. But at some point, you do have to understand that there's other ways to skin a cat, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, you know, and the thing is, you know, even doing high school games, okay, these kids, they watch that stuff, and they mimic the way the Bucks are playing. And even these high school coaches, I talk to them after a game or sometimes before a game, and they say, you know, we try to go inside, but they get just three-point happy, and it just reflects in the NBA, you know, how these kids are playing nowadays. When I played, and I'm sure when you played, you know, in youth games, we always were told to go inside, take your best shot. Just don't keep chucking it. If you're missing it, don't keep chucking it up. Go inside.
Yeah, take a step in. Why don't you get a better look is what they used to say. Brewer Mike, good hearing from you, man. Don't be a stranger. Eric Name and I joked about this when Bud kind of first came in. It was back in the day. Wow, would I sound old saying that. A couple of years ago, that's a better way to phrase it, you would miss a three, and everybody say, hey, bud, why don't you take a step on in? Get yourself a better look at it. Now it's, hold on, let me get another. Miss one? He's hot. Let me see another one. Let me see that thing again. And you want to go back to the well, go from deep again. That's what the numbers say. Not a huge analytic guy, but I do lean towards fact and numbers and percentages. Three is better than two. You shoot 50% from two, shoot 30% from three. There's your numbers. And it's there's a balancing act that you got to go with it. But at some point when it's just not working, sometimes you might have to go back to the well. Let's get the drive of the game tonight as the Bucks lose 127-115.
Was it a dunk? Was it a key basket in transition? Was it a spectacular play down the lane? It's time for the wrench and go drive of the game. Need auto parts?
Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest price auto parts around. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Giannis finished with 31 tonight. This one brought the lead and the deficit just a little bit closer, but the Bucks still in that fourth quarter weren't able to get it closer to six.
Yes. Tough finish, a lot of contact, no foul. Keep playing.
Marcus Johnson and Jim Paschke, yeah, there was a lot of contact all night. There weren't a lot of calls made. Talked to Kyle Korver about that. He had some pointed advice to Giannis, and also a little bit of a Giannis impression. Stay tuned. That's coming up next. Here's some of our conversation with Kyle Korver last night on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Mike Budenholzer, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Matt Velasquez, still to come. Don't go anywhere. It's the Pick and Save Probes postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Behold our mortal enemy. We're keeping an eye on the enemy. How did the bad guy look tonight? Sponsored by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch or dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Welcome back. This is 105.7 FM, The Fan's Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show. My name is Bill Schmid. Billy, if you want to be a little more informal. I'm also not the most formal individual. Sorry, guys. I know it's late, but I'm wearing sweatpants. Bucks lose tonight, 127-115. They've only lost seven times, so no reason to panic, right? But it was clear and evident, at least to this observer, that one team wanted that one more than the other. Is that disappointing? Yes. Can that be rectified? Yes. Does one team deserve a lot more credit than the other one deserves criticism? Maybe. That's a balancing act that I'm trying to get in my head right now. Bucks only have lost seven games this year. And in a couple of them, at least the two most notable ones, the two that you really remember, at least right now, you really remember all of them. In two of them, last night Kyle Korver eloquently remembered and told us, yeah, we were up by 20 in two of them. He's right. They were also down by 20 in one of them and had a chance to win the game on the road in one of the most hostile environments in basketball. That was against Utah back in November. If you remember, that team was down 53-33 in the first half. Giannis came back out and had a 30 spot in the second half. They almost won that game. Utah was in Denver last night, and they lost. This team then had to fly to Milwaukee, take on the Bucks, got in at like 5 in the morning, played without three of their best players in Paul Millsap, Gary Harris, and Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray was a former top 10 pick out of the University of Kentucky, one of the best young scorers in the game. He was out tonight. Nikola Jokic was still good and just one heck of a passer. Guy just sees the floor really, really well. They put him with the ball in that 22 feet away range right at the top of the key. Looks like a quarterback out there, man. Just dicing defenses up. Will Barton had one where he gave it to him. You look for a screen and roll? No, it's a screen. Here you go, Joker. Go and look, and I'm just going to cut right back around you, and there's no way after you lofted over the head of the defender, anybody can stop me. It's a good basketball team that Malone has over there. And they fight really, really, really hard. And they fought really hard tonight and got a win. And they deserve that win more than the Milwaukee Bucks did tonight. I don't think that's a huge knock on Coach Bud. I don't think that's a incredible, outlandish statement I'm making. But it was just pretty obvious. One team wanted that one really, really bad. The other one started a guy that no other team offered a contract to. Instead, they gave him a two-year fully guaranteed contract to Thanasis Antetokounmpo. And I didn't remember anybody bashing the signing. I know a lot of people questioned it maybe and said, is that the best way to make sure you keep Giannis happy? It's one of, It was Greek night tonight. There was a reason why the Bucks had Thanasis in the starting lineup. The guy only played 5 minutes. Not like he was the MVP of the game. We will name a most valuable Buck here coming up shortly. But there's moments in an NBA season where you're going to have to break up the monotony. Tonight felt like one of those where the Bucks used it as a way to break up some monotony. And they got beat on their home floor. Took a team having the most threes they've hit all year to do it, but it happened. Listening to Coach Bud after each and every game on this station and on this postgame show, inside these just beautifully warm and fully insulated Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin studios, I can only imagine how nauseating that third quarter must have been for Coach Budenholzer. We'll hear from him now on the Pick and Save Probes postgame show.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Mike Budenholzer, I imagine you got to give some credit to the Denver Nuggets to start out tonight.
Yeah, they played tonight. A lot of guys stepped up, played well. They shot the three ball incredibly well. Their bench was good. Their energy, their activity. So we weren't very good. Got to coach better, play better, smarter. But I think a lot of credit to Denver tonight.
In most of the losses you guys have had this year, we've talked about three-point shooting. Just what do you think of the way you guys closed out the line and defended the line tonight?
Not well, but, you know, I think you know, if we look at the film, I'll be curious to see, you know, how they got their threes. And some of them were just, you know, tough. And Will Barton hit some huge ones that, you know, just tough threes. And Grant hit one or two in the pick and pop, which is, you know, something we see a lot of. But the other ones, you know, Hernan Gomez hitting some big ones, Dozier, and, you know, Craig. A lot of those guys just stepped up and made shots. So, we can be better, but, you know, I think, you know, they moved it, they shot it well.
A lot of times when Jokic was posting up, somebody would come from the help side right next to him and come and help on him. Is that something you guys wanted to see to kind of get the ball out of his hands, or what was the goal?
Yeah, we just wanted to be active on him, you know, not let him just, you know, kind of play comfortably, try and get him a little bit off his rhythm. And you know, he made the pass late to the corner, and you know, there may have been others, but I think you know, it was pick and roll and coming off screens. I think the post play, while not great, I think that was, you know, down the list of our issues.
Giannis tonight particularly early started really well, passing the ball, had a bunch of assists in the first quarter. He finished 11 for 27. What did you see from him? Just not at the usual efficiency that we get used to. And then late in the game, did you, I know it was only a few minutes ago, but did you see or find out what he sort of looked like he hurt there?
No, I don't know exactly. I don't think it's anything significant, but we'll know more. I didn't get an update before I came in. You know, I think a part of Giannis' 11 for 27, you know, he had, a you know, possessions where it felt like he, I don't know how many shots they gave him credit for, but, you know, multiple 3-4, you know, shots without a make. And, you know, that's unusual for him. And, you know, again, I thought Denver was good there too. You know, their length in the paint, their activity, their hands. You know, it's just he wasn't as efficient or as good as he usually is in the paint.
Coach, I know you always feel like your team can be successful no matter who's available that night, but what do you think you missed from not having the spark of Dante and George?
Yeah, we missed them. I mean, Denver's missing a significant chunk of their roster, so I don't think it's appropriate really to talk about who we're not having. We just got beat.
With Pat and Sterling kind of stepping in, you guys had to play some lineups that, I mean.
That awkward silence was brought to you by Schneider during the Coach's Corner of the Milwaukee Pro postgame show. Mike Budenholzer obviously not happy after his team loses to the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah. you know, I tend to think of breakdowns as defensive breakdowns, and I think we'll look at the film. We weren't great there, and maybe, you know, guarding out of position a little bit, but, you know, offensively, maybe just not a rhythm, guys not in the right spots, if that's what you're referring to as breakdowns. Just not the same normal rhythm. That second group with George and those guys and Dante, they've all had a, you know, they've been in a really good rhythm. So it's hard. You know, I thought Sterling gave us his best, and Pat and all those guys, but it's just a little bit different. Sometimes it takes a minute to get into a rhythm.
We don't usually ask you about the starting lineup when you have all five of your normal starters available, because you tend not to change. What went into Thanasis starting tonight?
Just a night to, you know, for he and Giannis to start an NBA game together was something that just thought was something unique and special. And I thought, you know, Thanasis gave us great energy out of the gate. You know, we got off to a great start. You know, let those two guys play together for a minute.
Chris started the night shooting really well, and then you kind of went to him in the pick and roll. Just what did you like from his execution late? I know he ended up having, I think, 4 or 5 fourth quarter assists.
Yeah, you know, I thought he made some great reads, and, you know, he's commands a lot of attention, so I thought he moved the ball well. He's just playing so good, whether he's shooting it, passing it, you know, he's in a good rhythm, and, you know, maybe try and get him a few more looks. But, you know, he also 9 assists, I think, you know, kind of he's taking what the defense has given him.
Giannis tracks it down and jams.
There's always something unexpected that changes the game.
It's going to be crazy, man.
Here's tonight's X Factor of the Game.
Brought to you by Bryant Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Bucks lose tonight to the Denver Nuggets, 127-115. Not necessarily one to panic about, but it was pretty evident that one team had a much different sense of purpose in this game. And that can happen from night in, night to night. Don't get me wrong, it's not like this is something that only the Bucks are going to have to deal with. There are other teams that are going to play poorly on nights too. There's going to be teams across the NBA who get out-hustled in a particular game. And yes, even at home. But a team off a back-to-back. Denver, this stat blew my mind. This team was 18-3 coming off back-to-backs. Folks, that's coaching. That's coaching, and that's an intentional sense of purpose that you're playing with, especially in those moments. This team came off a huge, hard-fought win at home last night against Utah, a team that they are going to play most likely in the playoffs and be battling with for postseason positioning all year long. And they came in after that game and thumped you at home. That's a tough loss to take. I liked Bud's answer. The reason to start Thanasis, yeah, it was just a cool moment. We're going to need those throughout the season. Did I expect it to be the reason we lost? No. Was it the reason we lost? No. We got beat. They played better than us. They played harder than us at certain points. They played with more focus, more intentional energy. They outscored you in a quarter by, let me do the math correctly, 40, 24, carry the 6, 16 points out of the break. Not many times you're going to win a whole lot of games when you get outscored by 16 coming out from recess. And as I pointed out earlier tonight on Twitter, that whole third quarter was in the middle of the Kobe Bryant tribute that they did before the game at Staples Center tonight. If you missed it, some of it's on our Twitter page at 105.7 FM The Fan. You got to sift through the retweets. I apologize. Sometimes I just get trigger happy on the green double arrows. The speech that LeBron James gave, I can't play most of it because he did swear during it, but I want to. It was moving. And the tribute they did was great. It was a tremendous job by the folks with the LA Lakers. And the tribute they put on, Usher was a part of it. Just at halftime still, it continued with Charlie Puth and Wiz Khalifa singing See You Again. A moving, moving night out in Staples. And a tough week that we've had across the world of professional basketball, and it's still pretty fresh to a lot, and it's going to be for quite some time. But the way that LeBron closed his speech tonight, after taking the script that they had given him, or at least told him to lean on, said, "I'm going to speak from the heart." Finished it with, "Mamba out, but never forgotten." There's no better way to say it as we remember the life that was for Kobe Bryant. Bucks lose tonight, 127-115. Take a quick timeout, and we will hear some from Kyle Korver from last night. We still got Matt Velasquez coming up here tonight on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show. Also, look around the scoreboard, because while the Bucks lost tonight, the magic number changes. Give you that update next on The Fan.
Who's banged up on the Bucks?
Once I felt I could put weight on it, I was like, I had to get back out there.
This is the McCormick Law Office Milwaukee Injury Report. McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the free radio.com app. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show. I'm Bill Schmidt. Baby Tosh, appreciate you hanging out after the Bucks lose tonight. Only the seventh time all year they've fallen. They've played 48 games now. That's what one person said to my tweet of, Nuggets clearly wanted this one more. I mean, stuff's going to happen. I mean, games that you don't have your best effort, your best focus, your best game. One team had much better game, much better game plan, executed their game plan, and frankly, it just seemed like played with higher effort all 48 minutes. And that was the Denver Nuggets. The injury report, we'll start with the Nuggets because theirs was pretty impressive. They were without Gary Harris, without Paul Millsap, and without Jamal Murray. And were able to win that game tonight. They also lost Michael Porter Jr. In the middle of that fourth quarter. He left with an ankle injury, and he is considered questionable moving forward, listed right now at day-to-day. So Michael Porter Jr. Was able to walk off on his own power, found himself at the end of the bench. I did not see if he ended up going into the locker room at any point early, but we might have a update later on for him. But the fall late in the game was on Giannis. And right now, according to our own Matt Velasquez, who's going to join us here in a few minutes from right now, it was apparent leg injury. Matt will be able to shed some more light on it, as just got word that he is exiting the Bucks locker room right now. He should join us here in a couple of minutes from right now on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show. George Hill was out tonight, and he's expected to miss the next few games, according to the aforementioned Matt Velasquez. He's on all this news with a hamstring injury. Frank Mason Jr., don't worry about it. Probable if they need him, but an abdominal strain has kind of kept him in and out of the lineup. And Dante DiVincenzo did not play tonight. Interesting to see if Dante is able to go coming up on Sunday. Mike Budenholzer did not believe that the reason why they lost this game was because of anybody they did not have. Felt like the reason they lost this game was because they simply got beat, and I would agree with him. I don't think that there's any point in this night where you saw a different level of play, something that you can't control, just a different level of talent. There wasn't a talent thing tonight. It was just an effort thing. It was an intensity thing. And it was an execution thing. All of those wrapped into one is the reason why the Bucks got handed their seventh loss on the year. Are you going to freak out? No. Because of what I'm going to tell you right now. The Chicago Bulls also lost tonight. Why is that relevant? They played the Brooklyn Nets, 133-118. Because with the Chicago Bulls loss, the Milwaukee Bucks magic number to clinch a playoff spot goes down to 9. As you wake up tomorrow morning on the first day of February, a leap year, by the way, one, say a good thought to Leroy Butler as he tries to get into the Hall of Fame. But also, tomorrow when you wake up, the Milwaukee Bucks on the 1st of February will have a magic number to clinch a playoff spot that is a single digit. That is pretty dang impressive. Let's join now by our guy Matt Velasquez on The Fan.
This guy's on the inside. After every game, listen to the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show for the latest from JS Online's Matt Velasquez. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Divorce. child custody, or any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Merola online at merolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, JS Online. You follow him on Twitter at Matt_Velasquez. And he joins us here on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show after each and every Bucks game. Not many as he joined us after a loss, but the Bucks haven't lost a whole lot this season. They lose tonight against the Denver Nuggets, 127-115. Matt, appreciate the time tonight in a game where it just felt like one team had a different level of energy, effort, and intensity and execution.
Yeah, and it's crazy because the Nuggets got to Milwaukee, got to their hotel at like 4:30 in the morning. They played last night. The Bucks were, you know, they had 2 days off. So like you would think that this would be like a scheduled win for the Bucks just because of how the rest and all that shakes out. And it was not. I mean, the Nuggets played really hard. They brought, you know, kind of wave. You know, it was only nine guys, but like I feel like everybody who played just brought something kind of extra. Everybody on the Nuggets scored in double digits. Everybody on the Nuggets made at least one three-pointer. You know, they shot an incredibly high percentage. They were 22 of 46 on three-pointers. You know, same old story. This is the third Bucks loss in a row that the opposing team has just gone bananas from three-point range, which, you know, that's a stretch that takes us, you know, from Christmas to the end of January, and the Bucks only have three losses. I guess there's the positive if you're looking for one, and that it takes, you know, shooting a bananas percentage from three to beat them. But, you know, it was really impressive just the way the Nuggets just kept coming, kept pushing, kept playing incredibly hard.
Yeah, and it was. It was just an intense game that every single guy that played on their team, the nine dudes that suited up for Denver, all had double digits. I mean, that's a night for a squad. And when a team comes in with that type of energy, that type of intensity, it's going to be tough to beat them. I understand. And there are going to be nights that you just get beat. I thought Mike Budenholzer said it well. I didn't think it was any reason because you didn't have George Hill, not because you didn't have Dante DiVincenzo, because they played better than us tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the Nuggets just played better. And the Bucks, you know, there were times where they played well. They got out to a 14-point lead pretty early in the game. They were shooting the ball well. They were moving the ball well. You know, they're getting stops on defense. And then the stops came and became harder to come by. And, you know, they let up, you know, too many open shots. And even when they were contesting shots, the Nuggets were finding ways to knock them down. I mean, Will Barton in the third quarter had a couple of those, like, hop-step threes that I don't know if you could defend them any better. Like, when a guy doesn't move like that, like, and you're in front of him, like, all you can do is keep your hand up and try and get close and not foul. And if he's making those shots, you just got to tip your hat to him. He was great. Nikola Jokic was great, you know, inside, facilitating. I think the Bucks maybe, they might have, I think, you know, kind of overhelped a little bit, had the next guy over,
yep,
crashing down to try and get the ball out of his hands, something that the Bucks wanted to do, get the ball out of his hands. And, you know, Jokic found guys who were then open either for threes or cutting down the lane, stuff like that. I'd be interested to see if what the Bucks do next time they play Denver, if they are going to do something similar, because it definitely burned them at times tonight, at least I think. But, you know, credit to the Nuggets. They were really good, and the Bucks just didn't seem to have an answer. And Giannis, you know, he struggled against the physicality and size that the Nuggets were able to bring, and their offense just wasn't able to get into a flow outside of that first quarter.
Matt, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, like, when they doubled down on Jokic in the block, it seemed like every single time they did, there was a wide open three, and every single time it got knocked down. Even him at the top of the circle just inside the arc, the little bit of a give and go that they were doing, dribble handoff to Jokic, either Barton, whoever it would be, circle right down the other side of the lane, he was dropping dimes in like a quarterback. I mean, the passing was excellent to watch from the Joker tonight.
Yeah, and that's what he does, which is kind of surprising that they would double. I mean, I think the idea is if you have Brook Lopez, he's big enough and strong enough and he can move his feet enough that he can stay in front of him, and you don't need to double like that. You know, you kind of want Jokic to keep the ball in his hands, is when he's spreading it around, that's when he's at his most dangerous, I would think.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see. I mean, I asked Bud about it, and he kind of just said that they wanted to kind of challenge him, have forced him to move it and whatever. You know, obviously Bud knows a lot more about basketball than I do. He knows more than I ever will. But, you know, it just seemed kind of, you know, intriguing to me that that was the way the Bucks decided to go about things.
Especially in a night where, and I, you echoing pretty much all the sentiments that I thought of a lot of the night, but without Gary Harris, without Jamal Murray, and without Paul Millsap, you would have thought that, okay, we'll let him do his thing, but none of these other auxiliary pieces are going to beat us tonight because they just don't have enough firepower if it's only Jokic going off.
Yeah, I mean, and especially, you know, you don't want to dare those other guys to beat you on open shots. You want Jokic to try and beat you on, like, contested shots, tough shots. You know, maybe you double, but maybe have the double come later, like when he's already kind of committed towards going to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Not just when he's posted up on the block or posted up on the baseline or hanging out by the top of the key. Like, you know, let the play develop a little bit more before the double comes. But that, like I said, maybe that's just me.
Matt Velasquez is joining us here on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show down at Fiserv Forum. It was a very nice gesture. It was cool. It also felt like to me, Matt, an observer and a guy that watches all the games and enjoys the league. It also felt like a bit of a fist up in the air with one of the five fingers up in the air to start Thanasis tonight to say, we know that we can win enough games, and it's Greek night. Let's have some fun. It was cool. It was a great moment, but just very, very, very stunning to see 43 in the lineup starting for Brook Lopez tonight.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was kind of stunned, really, because Bud, I mean, I even asked him during the post game. I said, Bud, we don't usually ask you about your starting lineup because you don't change it. Like, if you have your five starters healthy, they start. Like, that's just been the way they've done it for a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to ask Jason Kidd all the time because you never knew. Like, Jason Kidd might change the lineup. Things might happen. And, like, you know, you always just ask, like, hey, same starters? And you always ask. But for Bud, we don't do that. And it was surprising to see Thanasis out there, especially since he hasn't really played at all this year. He hadn't played in the first, second, or third quarter of any game this season. Yeah, he'd only played 56 minutes in 14 games. You know, but to his credit, he was ready. He came out with that. He got that steal and the dunk, and then he was able to do that, get the, you know, the layup to finish an and one, you know, on a pass from Giannis. Very special moment for the two of them. By the time he came out for the first time, you know, the Bucks were up 16-4. So obviously he had done his part. He had collected two fouls in those first 4 minutes. You know, but he was guarding Jokic. It was a tough assignment
for sure.
And then he played like, you know, a little bit over a minute after that. And it was just kind of you know, small roles after that. But I, you know, it was interesting. It was a nice gesture. But I could see how if you're the Nuggets, you might be like, oh my gosh, like you're really doing that to us?
Yeah.
Like, that's how much.
Like, are you serious? Are you guys serious? You guys look at these standings. You see that we're the number two seed out west. Like, it just felt like a different level of respect and intensity than you saw against the two teams that sandwiched the Nuggets in the West, in the Lakers and Clippers.
Yeah, and like, would they do that if it was Greek night and they were playing the Lakers? Like, I don't think so.
I agree.
Like, would they do it if they were playing the Clippers? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But yeah, it definitely took me by surprise, though. You know, at the same time, like, it's something a little different. It's something that obviously Giannis appreciated and liked, and Thanasis appreciated and liked, and you know, when Thanasis down that dunk, you know, Brook Lopez, who he replaced, Brook is like jumping up and down, like going nuts when Thanasis had that dunk. So it's not like, you know, he was like taking a front and like being a grouch on the bench or anything like that. It seemed like he was very much enjoying it, appreciating it, and this team, they generally cheer for each other, root for each other, and tonight was no different. So maybe it's, you know, a long-term morale play, and maybe it pays off. Who knows? Maybe it's just tonight, and it's just, you know, that's it.
And we'll forget about it. Honestly, Matt, I thought it was cool, it was fun, and also the interesting part that I saw, and the most fun part of it for me, was on that breakaway, I thought Thanasis was going to run straight to, like, Mekwan, because he throws the dunk down, and it almost felt like the basket was behind him for how quick he got out and ran with the ball, juiced up in those first couple of minutes.
Oh, that's just what he does.
It was awesome.
That's what he's always done, and you know, it was good for him to be able to do that. And I know you were mentioning it before, kind of before I got on, talking about Giannis's injury. We talked to Giannis in the locker room, and he said it was just a cramp. that his left hamstring kind of just cramped up and gave out on him. I said it's happened like four or five times in his career, but it was nothing more than that. So if you're listening now and you were worried about Giannis's injury and how serious it might be, well, there you go.
You should not be worried. So we should be ready to go come Sunday when we're doing basketball before Super Bowl Sunday.
You would think so.
Perfect.
But we'll see.
Matt, appreciate it, my man. You're the man down at Fiserv Forum. Sounds like there's still a bunch going on. Are they doing the Greek celebration now after everyone got out of the locker room?
Yeah, they just finished it up. Thanasis, I think they sang the Greek national anthem, took a picture, they chanted MVP, and that was that.
Okay, well, everybody at least gets home with a good story, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk on Super Bowl Sunday.
All right, we'll talk to you then.
There it is. That's Matt Velasquez joining us here. The Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Mobile Studios on 105.7 FM The Fan as Matt joins us from Fiserv Forum, just leaving the Bucks locker room. And as he reported right there, Giannis after the game said no big deal, cramped up, it's all good, little lower leg injury, should be all good to go. It's happened a couple of times before. Seen it happen. Very odd and awkward when you see a guy go down taking off instead of going up or coming back down. But everything seems to be good to go for Giannis to play on Super Bowl Sunday. And yes, the Bucks do play on Super Bowl Sunday. They tip off at 1 o'clock against the Phoenix Suns. We'll look into it a little bit more here coming up next on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. I'm Bill Schmid, baby Tausch. I appreciate everybody being here. If you're leaving Fiserv Forum or just getting home, give us a shout, 414-799-1250. Love to hear what's on your mind after the Bucks lose 127-115. Only a few losses on the year, but you can still point to them and remember vividly pretty much each one. This one, much in the same, exactly how the Bucks have fallen other times in 2019-2020. The opponent has one of their best three-point shooting nights of the season. This one no different. Season high for the Denver Nuggets from downtown. With 22 made threes, they shot almost 48% from downtown. Bucks, just 12 of 40, a recipe for a 12-point loss. And we're talking about it here on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz Milwaukee North, where you can get up to $700 payment credit on 2019 vehicles at mercedesofmilwaukeenorth.com. Don't go anywhere. It's 105.7 FM.
Behold our mortal enemy.
We're keeping an eye on the enemy.
How did the bad guy look tonight?
Sponsored by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch or dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North is back with you on 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmid, baby Tausch. Appreciate you hanging out. Bucks lose 127-115, and it was a pretty evident way that the Bucks fell in this one tonight. Denver just came out and hit a bunch of threes. A couple of them right in the face of Milwaukee Bucks defenders. Will Barton hit a couple of big-time shots. He was 6 of 9 from downtown, had 24. All nine players that the shorthanded Denver Nuggets played with tonight, all nine had double figures. 24 from Barton. Pitching 16 from Malik Beasley. Michael Porter Jr. had 15. Nikolai Jokic had 15 on 7 of 17 shooting. 1 of 3 from downtown. A big 3, though, late in the game. 10 boards, 9 assists. Just one dime away from a triple-double for the Joker. 11 from Craig. Also throw in another 14 from Morris. And Gomez had himself 12 points, 2 of 4 from downtown. Two big ones early in the second quarter that just kind of kept the Nuggets around in that second quarter that was kind of ugly on both sides. Just 25-24 the score on both ends for it. The Bucks get outscored, though, by 16 coming out of the halftime, and that was one of the real daggers and one of the finalists for the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, as they just were not able to come back from that hole. They led through the all of the first half, through midway through the third quarter, lost the lead, after it became a 17 to 8 run to come out of the break at 77-76, and the Nuggets never looked back. The Bucks were unable to reclaim the lead after that moment in time, and it was wraps at that point. I mean, you could tell on everybody's face at Fiserv, you could kind of feel like it was just about done for the Milwaukee Bucks. MVB tonight, the most valuable Buck, is brought to you by Chevrolet. Check out all the new 2020 Chevrolet Silverados at your local Chevy dealer or online at WisconsinDrivesChevy.com. MVB of tonight's game. You got to go with Giannis, right? He was an assist shy of a triple-double, 31 points, 16 boards, 9 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. 8 of 7 from the free throw line, 1 of 5 from deep, 11 of 27 from the floor. Giannis, not his best game tonight in 32 minutes, but in 37 minutes of play, yeah, I got to go here. It's going to be Chris Middleton. 7 of 11 from the floor, 4 of 6 from deep, 6 of 7 from the free throw line, continues to just shoot an incredible percentage of 24 points, had 9 assists as well, but just 2 rebounds on that side for Chris Middleton tonight. Bucks get out rebounded by 4 tonight, get tied up in assists, but get out shot from deep, 22 to 12. 46 attempts for the Nuggets, 40 for the Bucks. The averages from deep, 47.8 for Denver, and for the Milwaukee Bucks, a flat 30% from downtown. Bucks lose at 127-115 tonight. Couple of cuts inside the locker room. I want to bring you this story that Kyle Korver shared last night about Giannis not getting enough calls. Kyle Korver joined us on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour last night. And Inside the Locker Room is always brought to you by Granville Business Improvement District. The Granville Connection is opening soon. Go to Granville Business, Granville business.org, to see how your small business can be a part of the Granville Connection. So, Giannis, young guy in the league, 25 years old. Hard to say he's a young guy in the league. It's his 7th NBA season. But young compared to 17 years of NBA experience that Kyle Korver brings to the table. So, 25-year-old looks over at Kyle. He's frustrated. He just doesn't get why they're not giving him enough calls.
I think what's frustrating for Giannis is he watched guys like throw their head and yell and like barely get bumped, and they're getting all these free throws. And for him, he's just, you know, he's, to me, playing the game the right way. He's putting his head down. He's trying to go through it. We were on the bench a few games ago, and I'm like, you just got to learn how to do this. This is the way it is. It's not going to change this year. Like, you got to start just, like, throwing your head and yelling, and, like, you can get more free throws. He's like, I know. I got to do it. I cannot do it. Like, I do not like it. I'm going to attack the baskets. I'm like, well, I like it when you do that, too. But I'm just saying, you get a lot more free throws. You start throwing your head a little bit and yelling.
That Giannis impression, this one might be the best I've heard.
I know. I got to do it. I cannot do it. Like, I do not like it. I'm going to attack the baskets. I'm like, well, I like it when you do that too. But I'm just saying, you get a lot more free throws. You start throwing your head a little bit and yelling.
It does help. It seems to be the way to go in the NBA today. Kyle Korver, also not a huge fan of the way that the game is fully officiated. We're running really short on time here tonight. So if after the game on Sunday, I want to let some of this breathe with Kyle Korver's comments from last night and bring a lot more of them to you. But just listen to this about a guy that's played in the league for now 17 years.
When I was young, I was in the gym by myself using my imagination, like shooting baskets for hours and pretending I'm playing Michael Jordan and hitting game winners and like just developed, like even the summertime now, like my favorite thing is to go shoot by myself. You know, like everything's so organized with the Bucks. They're amazing, but there's always like 3 rebounders and a coach and someone watching and they're charting your shots. And I'm like, I just kind of want to shoot by myself for a little bit and remind myself how much I love it.
Remind myself how much I love it. Remind myself how much I love the game. That is a dude that still is as in love with the game of basketball as he was when he walked in the second round as the 51st overall pick. Played 17 years and giving some tremendous wisdom to the Milwaukee Bucks on the team on the floor tonight. from the floor was Kyle Korver. Well, he took one charge, which ended up being a big play, but one of three from the floor, just 0 of 2 from downtown, and one free throw made, the only one he attempted, a technical free throw. He only had 3 points. No bench score for the Milwaukee Bucks, had double-digit points. 31, 24, 15. That, the big three for the Milwaukee Bucks, unable to carry the load tonight against the Denver Nuggets in a 127-115 loss at home. Take a quick timeout. We'll look around the NBA scoreboard, wrap things up next. It's the Pick and Save Pros postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, with you late night tonight on the...
Marcus, it seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
What defensive play stood out?
Giannis knocks that away from Love right at the rim.
Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113 Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
By the Nuggets with this small lineup. Give me that.
Yes, knocks it away from Michael Porter Jr.
I'll take that, please, young fella.
That's Giannis giving a little bit of a welcome to the league moment for Michael Porter Jr., second-year player. Nice-looking player. A lot of teams are going to be upset that they missed on Michael Porter Jr. He didn't clear a lot of teams' medicals, but for the talent that he had, I'm a little bit surprised that he lasted as long as he did in the NBA draft. Pick and Save for Rose post-game show for just a couple of more minutes here on 105.7 FM. The Fan, appreciate everybody hanging out with us tonight inside the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Studios. Bucks lose 127-115. The only other game going on right now, the only active game in the association. They honored Kobe Bryant tonight at Staples Center. It was a moving tribute, an incredible job that they did. However, the Portland Trailblazers are the ones honoring Kobe on the scoreboard, especially Damian Lillard. Put up 42 so far with 9.5 minutes left in the fourth. He had over 20 of those 42 in the third quarter. He ended up with 22 in the third quarter. 42 from Dame. The Trailblazers up 12 right now, 108-96, with, once again, about 9 minutes to go in that one. Raptors get a win on the road in Motown tonight, a 105-92 victory for Toronto. Said earlier, the Bulls lose in Brooklyn, another moving game, and the best game, really, of Kyrie Irving's career. Missed just two shots, 54 points in a 133-118 victory. That moves the Bucks' magic number to clinch a playoff spot to just 9. And make it 8 on Sunday with a Super Bowl Sunday matinee against the Phoenix Suns. Rockets beat the Mavs at home 128-121. 35 from James Harden. Kristaps Porzingis was equally as good. 35 points and 12 boards, 2 steals on the other side. Pelicans beat the Grizzlies at home 139-111. And 111-107. The Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Phoenix Suns. Suns are at Fiserv Forum coming up on Sunday. We're back here with the Big and Safe Probes post-game show after that one. Till then, for Alicia, I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. Appreciate you hanging out. Keep it right here. It's 105.7 FM, The Fan.